Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Spike Bucklow. He's the author of numerous books on artists and their materials and methods. His latest book, The Year, is an ecology of the zodiac. It's a journey through nature's yearly cycle, blending science, history, and poetic reflection. Welcome to the show, Spike.
Thank you very much.
I'm interested to know what kind of inspired this book, because it seems like you're looking at so many different aspects of life.
I mean, it's a bit of a long story. Thank you for your introduction. Like you say, I've done a lot on artists, historic artists. I started off as a chemist, and I found out that my skills as a chemist could be used in the conservation world. But I wanted to know, when I was doing all that, how the artists themselves thought about what they were doing. So that led me to studying alchemy. And it was a small step from alchemy to astrology, because I was asked to write a book about artists' lives. And I thought, well, I've written a lot about how they understood their materials in terms of alchemy. So I thought, how would they understand their lives? And their lives they understood in terms of the seven planets. So I wrote about that. Because I'm a chemist, that's not exactly, that's a bit outside my comfort zone. So I found an astrologer who checked that my interpretation of 17th century astrology rang true with an astrologer today. And so she checked the previous books that I'd written. And at the end of that, she said she'd had an idea. Would I like to pursue that? So the astrologer was Chenka Sundal, and her idea was getting people out in the countryside once a month to see what's happening in the world, and then comparing that to what the zodiac sign says. So I said, well, that sounds kind of interesting. Again, way outside my comfort zone. So I thought I asked her to send her workshop notes to me, which were, you know, a couple of pages of A4 for each month. And during lockdown in COVID, I walked around and looked at what was going on in the local parks where I live, and then out when lockdown eased out into the countryside, and looked at her notes and kind of thought, well, this is kind of interesting. So that's how it started, because I thought this was an interesting way of looking at the natural world, and one that hasn't been done before. So the book, The Year, is a result of those kind of observations.
Yeah, fascinating. So were you able to identify massive differences in nature from one month to the next?
Yes. I mean, from day to day, there's no difference. But from the first of the month to the first of the next month, there's a massive difference. And they do kind of, you know, if you're going to be poetic about it, as well as scientific, you can see that the zodiac, which was developed like over 2,000 years ago, it was developed by people who wanted to understand how plants grew, so they could know when to sow them and when to harvest them. And they also wanted to know about their animals, you know, what they did. So it actually, when you come to think about it, it's not that surprising that the zodiac does contain quite a lot of stuff that relates to the rhythms of the natural world and how things change over time.
Yes. And it makes a lot more sense that the year, I think, would start in March or April, and that's when we, you know, celebrate New Year's Eve and things like that. That's when the astrological year starts with Aries in March and April, and it makes sense that, you know, we associate spring with new life and newborn and things. It would be much better for New Year's Eve to be in spring than in the depth of winter in December, January.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of slightly upset that the publication came out about a month late, because I actually start the first chapter is Aries, which is the beginning of spring. But actually, the traditional world was very good at having its cake and eating it. So the start of the year did correlate with Easter and the resurrection of Christ. But the end of the year and the start of the new year, what we celebrate now in December, is Christ's birth. So you can kind of pick and choose your start date. So the school start date was September, which is when the harvest is in tradition. And for some reason, I'd never understood 17th century gardener's year started in November. So, and in fact, whenever you start, it's a bit like coming into the movie after it started, you know. So there has to be a bit of a backstory for you to kind of know what's going on, or have the feeling of continuity of what's going on. Because, of course, the year is a cyclic time, and we're used to thinking in terms of linear time.
Yes. So have you been able to kind of make connections between astronomy and or astrology, if you like, and nature? Have you gone through, when looking at the different months and what's happening nature wise, does it make sense to connect it to the astrological sign of that month?
Yeah, you have to be a bit flexible about it. But yes, there are lots of correlations, especially if you take this month, May is all about, in astrology, it's kind of flowering and beauty. And indeed, May is a very beautiful month, and that's when the flowers first come up. So that's kind of obvious one. Leo, which is August, is a lot of lazing around, doing not a lot, because, you know, if you think about a lion, the lion doesn't seem to do much. It lets the lionesses do all the work. And there are good correlations there between what's going on in nature and what the zodiac suggests. And this is probably because people's lives were dictated by the work you had to do on the land.
Yeah, it's hot in August, so you do want to do less.
Exactly. Just don't want to do anything.
Yes. I'm a Leo, so it's funny that that's the one you picked on. Perfect. So what star sign are you?
I'm Aries, which is very good at starting things. It kicks off spring, but typically not very good at finishing them. So I'm quite proud of having got the book out.
Yes, well done.
It's a finished job.
Yes. And how does poetry come into it? I know you have some poetic reflections and references in the book.
Well, actually, the Because I'm trained as a scientist, it's kind of interesting what kind of insights scientists have. And they're very much about how things work, what things are. But poets are much, much better at why things happen and how they affect you. Because one of the powers of modern science comes from the fact that it kind of denies the humanity of the scientist. A person in a white coat should be able to do the same thing in a different lab, and that's the power of science. But it's also the weakness of science, because it means it doesn't actually emotionally touch you. So if you want to understand how things emotionally impact on you, the psychology of the year, and why people find winter more depressing than summer, for example, then you have to look at poets. Poets are the people you know that.
I'm thinking the one that springs to mind is daffodils, associated with spring, of course.
Yeah, and they're very, they're very assertive. They're very, they bring you hope and promise. And that's very much tied up with, the year having survived the winter and opening up again. So I quote a lot of Shakespeare and people like that, as well as Wordsworth in there.
Yes. And what about climate change? You kind of conclude the book on a chapter of the impact of climate change. How does that come into it?
Well, that comes from looking at it from the point of view of poets. And like I said, scientists, because they exclude the emotions from the laboratory, they're not very good at this. And climate change is something that we either accept or we do not accept. And that's an emotional response. So there's got to be some kind of emotional thing associated with how you relate to or don't relate to climate change. And birds have done this before. So that chapter actually takes two anecdotes from Ovid's Metamorphoses, where the first one is Icarus, who flew too close to the sun. It's Phaeton. The first one is Phaeton, who borrowed his father's chariot. He's the son of the sun god. And his dad promised him anything. And he said, well, I want to drive your chariot. And his dad felt really bad because he promised, he didn't want to break the promise, but he knew how dangerous it was. So Phaeton took the horses and the chariot that drive the sun around the sky. And of course, he lost control. He crashed and burned. And that's the first example of climate change in mythology, in that he kind of baked the sun, baked the earth. And there are lots of descriptions about, which sound very similar to climate change descriptions, to be honest. And he nearly killed everybody, but Zeus took him out. So that's one climate change. And the other climate change example from mythology is when Persephone was abducted by Hades and taken into the underworld, and all of the plants kind of shriveled up. And so there are examples of what happens when climates change, but in mythology and poetry. But the interesting thing about that is it doesn't deny the emotions. So the Phaeton was all about arrogance. A kid thinking he could drive his dad's car. Persephone was all about acquisition and lust. So there are interesting parallels there between the way in which we have, as in the modern world, played with the environment and, the price we're paying for it. So there's a certain amount of arrogance that's caused climate change, just as there was with Phaeton, and there's a certain amount of acquisition and lust, which is what Hades was about. So if you read these mythologies, you're seeing how emotional machine-driven behaviors have consequences on the natural world. And I thought that was interesting.
Yes.
And could be applied to them.
Absolutely. I'm interested to know how you wrote the book in terms of structure. Did you tackle each subject at a time and then piece it all together? You know, did you look at the subject of climate change? Did you look at the subject of astronomy? Or did you literally do it month by month and then bring everything together for each month?
You're right. It was actually quite a nightmare to structure it. So I had to read a lot of ecological studies, like the vertical migration of fish in the oceans every month. They come up in the new moon when it's dark and they won't be seen and won't be eaten. And they go down with a full moon to try and hide from predators. So I would read lots of things about ecology and then I would think, where does that fit? So that one, vertical migration of fish, is something that very obviously fits with the moon, and the moon fits with cancer. So that I stuck in the the chapter on June. So I had to do a lot of juggling, is the short answer.
But did you enjoy it, though? Are you happy that it's complete?
Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed it because it made me look at the world in a completely different way. And it was quite fun to find out all these weird and wonderful ecological things that I didn't know about. It kind of enriches your enjoyment of nature. So I enjoyed writing it. I said it was going to be my last ever book because it's quite hard going, but I enjoyed it so much I might even write another. Who knows?
Oh, lovely. Well, that's nice. If people want to get a copy of The Year, An Ecology of the Zodiac, it's available on our website, tre.radio, in the bookshop section. And it's by Spike Bucklow, who we've been chatting with today. Spike, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.